Also, for this evening, we have Brother Jack Clover with us, and we thank him for joining from Simon Manor there. And so his topic tonight is the good news about fake news, and we will turn things over to Brother Jack. Brother Jack?
Thank you. The reading I've chosen is from Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, and as rendered by the Amplified Bible. I'm sure you can guess what that was. It's the subject of discussion of every newscast you can imagine. So the delay in making this presentation actually provided me with more material, because we recently completed the most intense fake news on the World War II. It was not called fake news. It was called propaganda. Now, the original propagandists were actually officials in charge of propagating or growing the influence of the Roman Catholic Church in areas that were not already familiar with the Roman Catholic doctrine. So you might say that I'm a propagandist doing the same thing tonight on behalf of the Christadelphians, although I trust I shall stay clear of presenting fake news. The difference between Roman Catholic and Christadelphian propagandists is that we believe we are telling the truth, whereas the World War II propagandists knew very well they were lying through their teeth. William Joyce, nicknamed by the British as Lord Haw-Haw, was a traitor Brit who believed Germany's Adolf Hitler was on his way to ruling the world. And the first step toward that goal was to annihilate the Jews. Lord Haw-Haw broadcast from Germany every night on the radio, because the radio was the only mass medium at that particular time. Most Brits made fun of Lord Haw-Haw, but several, many in fact, were concerned that maybe his brand of propaganda was more truthful than the fake news that the British propagandists told the British people, because it was their job to keep our spirits up. And incidentally, Haw-Haw was hanged for his fake news broadcast, found guilty of high treason. Those propagandists were paid professional liars, and today's fake news propagators are more professional and far more highly paid than were the patriots in World War II. They're all liars, and they know it. Now, we're at the point in history where we really don't know what is truth. And that isn't a new phenomenon either. Pontius Pilate asked the question of Jesus, as recorded in John 18, verses 37 to 39, after Jesus said, "Everyone who hears my voice hears the truth." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" And we are forced to ask the same question. For example, a friend of mine recently asked me, "Do you believe a man actually walked on the moon?" And I said, "I do," in spite of the fact that I'd seen controversial articles saying that he never did walk on the moon, because there was a Coca-Cola bottle shown in the picture of him landing on the moon. So my friend challenged me, "Can you prove it?" And my response was, "Can you prove he didn't?" And the discussion grew from there. Neither convinced the other of their point of view. Now, that scenario is acted out millions of times each day, and in the end, whether one convinces the other or not, where there is left any room for doubt at all, we each end up choosing to believe what we want to believe, or what we've convinced to believe. Go to that source of all knowledge, Google, or search on YouTube asking the man in the moon question or the man on the moon question, and you will find at least 150 million articles for and against. Fake news is not a new phenomenon. It all started in the Garden of Eden when a serpent that had been given the power of speech told Eve that if she were to eat the fruit she'd been forbidden to eat by God, she would have the same power of God. That is, to decide for herself what was good and what was evil. And by the way, the serpent said, I know God just wants to keep you under his thumb so you won't have freedom to do what you want. That's the first example of fake news, if you believe the Bible account of creation is not fake news. Well, not only did Eve die, but so did Adam, and as have every human being since, and death awaits us all. Every lie is fake news, and fake news in our day is big business. In fact, it's one of the biggest businesses in the world. For example, a high percentage of advertising depends on fake news. It's not that it tells lies in every case. It just fails to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth about the product or service. If the ads were to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, a huge volume of business would be lost. And this is especially true of medicinal or beauty aids. However, what we need to be particularly cautious about are the mass or social media over which there is little or no control. Are you aware that there are over 300 hours of video content uploaded onto YouTube? How often? Every minute. YouTube has over 5 billion visits every day. 62% of the viewers are male, 38% female. The biggest proportion of the visits is for music that is promoting something or someone. A YouTube executive in charge of screening content freely admitted that even with their 10,000 technicians around the world screening for unsuitable content, it's impossible for them to prevent all fake, hate, politically extreme, indecent, or gruesomely graphic content from being displayed. And she also admitted that even if that content only stayed on YouTube for a week or so, millions of men, women, and children would have the opportunity to see and be convinced by it. She also readily admitted there's no attempt at all to screen any item for accuracy or truthfulness, and that fake news is rampant. An example of the kind of item I'm talking about is one claiming that there is a conspiracy among wealthy nations to breed poisonous mosquitoes to be released in third world, poor, overpopulated countries in order to cut down on the demand for food and sustenance for people considered to be unproductive or dispensable. But another source says that the mosquito needs no help to kill people, rich or poor. Scientists have calculated, to their own satisfaction at least, that mosquitoes have killed more people in total down through the ages than have wars, plagues, or any combination of diseases, including the Black Plague that killed over 50 million people in the 16th century. Scientists also concluded that Of the total number of 108 billion people who have ever lived on this world, a total of 52 billions died as a result of mosquito-caused diseases. Those diseases include dengue fever, malaria, Zika virus, yellow fever, West Nile virus, Japanese encephalitis, the Keystone virus, and many more. So in his book, A Human History of Our Most Deadly Predator, Timothy Weingard writes, "The mosquito has ambushed humankind with unmitigated fury since time immemorial and scratched her," yes, it's only the females who do the damage, "scratched her indelible mark on the modern world order. Last year," he says, "she slaughtered only 830,000 people, and that compares with the average of 2 million a year." Multi-billionaire Bill Gates, founder of the giant Microsoft company, is credited with having saved millions of lives by distributing mosquito netting to go around the beds of people who live in mosquito-infested areas. Now, which of those two accounts of the deaths caused by mosquitoes is correct? Are mosquitoes death caused by a diabolical plan to wipe out people classed as a waste of space and resources? Or is the mosquito a natural scourge of mankind? Do you believe one, neither, or both? But I said earlier, fake news is not a modern invention, even though that description was only coined recently by President Trump. Fake news has played both major and minor roles in Bible history. We've already mentioned the serpent's lie to Eve, which was by far the most devastating fake news ever, but even some of God's chosen servants lied. In Genesis chapter 12, it's recorded how Abram caused his beautiful wife Sarai to lie to Pharaoh because he, Abram, was afraid if Pharaoh knew that she was married to Abram, Abram would be killed so that Pharaoh could have his gorgeous Sarai as one of his wives. Also in Genesis, this time in chapter 27, there's a record of a series of lies concocted by Jacob and his mother to cheat Jacob's brother, Esau, out of the birthright to which he was entitled as the firstborn. It involved Jacob disguising himself as his brother Esau and lying several times to his blind father Isaac. The consequences of those lies are still with us today. The next example of biblical fake news is found in 2 Kings chapter 8. God's prophet Elisha was asked by King Ben-Hadad's servant whether the king was about to die. Elisha said, "Go and tell the king he will recover." But Elisha knew the king would die. So that was fake news. In the book of Joshua, prostitute Rahab lies to soldiers of the king of Jericho. She had hidden two Israeli spies, but tells the soldiers the spies had already left the city earlier. Now, Rahab is praised by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30 and 31. "It was by faith," it says, "that the walls of Jericho collapsed. For the Israelites had obeyed God's command to encircle them for 7 days. It was because of her faith that Rahab the prostitute did not share the fate of the disobedient, for she showed her faith in the true God when she welcomed the Israelites sent out to reconnoiter. In Exodus chapter 1, the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you perform the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on their birth stools, if it is a son, then you must kill him. But if it's a daughter, then she may live. However, the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but kept the male children alive. The king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and preserved the male children alive? The midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and people multiplied and grew very mighty. So it happened that because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. There are dozens of examples of fake news and lying and cheating all through the Bible. And of course, there are millions of people who believe that the Bible itself is one long catalog of untruths and fake news. There are millions more who are led astray by priests and clergy and self-appointed spiritual leaders who sometimes unknowingly and often knowingly promote teaching of false doctrine, which is, of course, another brand of fake news. So is there any difference between lying and fake news? And is one a more serious sin than the other in the eyes of God? I believe there can be differences. Often the peddlers of fake news are truly convinced that what they are saying is true. So in their minds, they're not lying. Others peddle fake news as a joke, just to see how many people are gullible enough to accept their fake news as truth. Perhaps the original incident of mass hysteria was caused by a program broadcast over the radio in 1938 in the United States. It was called The War of the Worlds, and it was presented by Orson Welles, who became famous because of it. The problem was that anyone who missed the beginning of the program also missed the disclaimer, which clearly stated the program was fiction, not fact. Among the many who missed that disclaimer were thousands who believed it was a true news broadcast. They believed there really was a war of the worlds going on, and when they discovered they believed fake news, they were enraged and embarrassed. Those of us who are old enough to remember the year 1999 may also remember the stories of what would happen to all computer-dependent equipment at midnight on December 31, 1999. All systems would crash. There would be chaos throughout the world. Everything from traffic lights to power supplies, hospitals, police, and firefighters would be thrown into utter confusion. Billions of dollars would be spent in preparation for the big crash. It never happened. But fortunes were made and lost because of what turned out to be an elaborate fake news scam. And now we have the Extinction Brigade preaching the end of the world in 12 years, and a certain portion of the population will be convinced and believe it and contribute huge sums of money to that movement. Meanwhile, the scientists, we're told, have moved the doomsday clock to within 90 seconds of midnight. Are they right, or is it fake news? Well, time will tell. The Bible foretells a time when, close to the time when Jesus Christ will return to the earth, the people's hearts will fail them. In other words, they will have heart attacks for fear of what is coming upon the earth. Faithful Christians are also told that when they see that happening around them, they should know that their pending redemption is soon to become reality. But why should we believe what the Bible says? It could be more fake news. Perhaps one of the greatest controversies that never seems to lose any steam is that concerning the Nazi perpetrated Holocaust against European Jews in areas conquered by Germans during World War II in the early 1940s. Several of us in this Zoom were alive when the Nazi killing camps were discovered, and we watched in horror newsreels and newspapers and heard radio commentaries of the inhuman brutality of the Nazis. But as time went by, it became fashionable to question whether that really happened. Or was it fake news spread abroad by Zionist Jews looking for sympathy and support as they tried to claim Israel as their rightful home? Look it up on the internet. You'll find for and against in huge numbers. You can't possibly read them all. What we do know is that whether the stated figure of 6 million Jews having been annihilated in Nazi camps is correct or exaggerated, the horror remains. These weren't casualties of war. These were ordinary people living ordinary lives. Their only crime was their Jewish heritage. Hitler's anti-Semitic campaign convinced Germans of his day that the Jews wanted to destroy Germany from within. It was fake news, but it worked. Winston Churchill, Britain's wartime prime minister, said, "The first casualty in any war is the truth." In the pro and con arguments about Churchill, there were grains of truth, but an awful lot of fake news from both sides. As I said earlier, what is called fake news is a term coined by President Trump. It used to be called propaganda and has been around since time immemorial. It was a key element in every war, but it has never been in such rampant use by the general public as it is now, thanks to social media. A 10-year-long study of social media's effect indicates the hopes of living in a peaceful world or even in a peaceful country are dwindling fast. Here are some statistics from a survey taken in Canada for a change. I found them shocking, but are they real or fake? One result is that only 65% of Canada-born adults believe democracy is the best form of government. 77% of immigrants believe democracy is the best form of government. Only 10% believe Canada is ruled democratically. 44% believe voting or not voting makes no difference. 68% believe elected officials don't care what ordinary citizens think. 79% believe fake news is a menace to our society. 71% believe fake news from especially Russia and China influence Western democracies' elections, end quote. So it becomes essential that every individual not simply accept without research anything we see or hear. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "Test all things, hold fast to what is good." The old adage adage of believe nothing of what you hear and only half of what you see isn't valid any longer. You see, our common problem is that we have neither the time nor the skills, and perhaps not even the inclination, to test the truth of what we see or hear. Wholesale skepticism isn't the answer either. We mustn't go through life rejecting everything, believing nothing in particular. It's a sacred responsibility of every person who has reached an age of responsibility to make choices after reaching thoughtful conclusions as to what is reliable information and what is fake news. You see, perhaps 95% of the fake news floating around in cyberspace, it doesn't matter what we believe or don't believe. We take our choice and nothing in our lives change. But here's the good news about fake news. There will come a time when fake news will be a thing of the past. It will not so much be remembered, because the Bible says the former things have passed away. Democracy will pass away, never to be part of the benevolent dictatorship that will replace every other form of government the world has ever known. When will this benevolent dictatorship happen? When the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth. At that time, the cleansing of the population of the earth itself, the seas and atmosphere will commence. All impurities will be purged and all will be restored to the pristine beauty and purity of the Garden of Eden, with one major exception. There will be no talking serpent or any force other than our own free will to come between ourselves and the gift of eternal life. Rest assured that no matter what the Extinction in 12 Years Alarmist Brigade are preaching, it won't happen. Oh, it could be that Christ will return in 12 years, or before, or after, and millions, even billions of lives will be lost. But there will be no permanent extinction among those who have opted to put their faith in the Almighty's promises by being baptized into the saving name of Christ. Meanwhile, Christadelphians will not spout fake news by attempting to tell you when Christ will return to the earth, but we're willing to shout from the housetop that he will return. Why would we be willing to do that? Because the Bible tells us so. And the Bible is the only source of both good and bad news that has never been proven to contain fake news in almost 6,000 years of its recorded history, and more importantly, its prophecy. Some 30% of Bible text relates to prophecies. Many prophecies have already been fulfilled in remarkable detail. Some estimates say over 90%. Most of what remained to be fulfilled relate to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and the introduction of the kingdom of God. But wait, why should you believe me just because I'm saying these things? What do I know that the scientists, meteorologists, marine biologists, geologists, agronomists, and every other earth you can think of don't know? I wouldn't pretend for 1 minute to know what they know. I do know the ones spouting the most negative narratives are the ones to get all the publicity, while more than 2,500 creationist scientists of various stripes and colors scattered throughout the world can't get a platform in any of the seats of learning. One such scientist, climatologist, was hired to speak in Eastern Canada a few months ago But when it was learned that his speech would not follow the party lines on so-called looming climate disaster, his speech was canceled. He wasn't even allowed to present the results of his scientific studies. Another eminent scientist, Wernher von Braun, originally a rocket scientist working in Nazi Germany, but after the war recruited by the Americans to work on their space program, put things this way. He said, "One of the most fundamental laws of natural science is that nothing in the physical world happens without a cause. There simply cannot be a creation without some kind of a spiritual creator. Anything as well ordered and perfectly created as is our Earth and universe must have a maker and master designer." End quote. Now, did the U.S. pay him to say that in order to make an ex-Nazi rocket scientist acceptable to Americans? We don't know. One of the major problems of our time is that our world is full of so-called experts. So what are the qualities of a true expert as compared to a person simply accepted as an expert? And would one regarded as an expert yesteryear be necessarily accepted as an expert today? Of course, he or she wouldn't. On the same basis of reasoning, will today's experts be necessarily accepted as experts years from now? Experts deal with both facts and opinions. Experts often disagree enormously between themselves. Experts are often led astray by their own biases, emotions, and self-importance. And not a few have been caught deliberately deceiving their adherents, often with monetary motives. An Australian philosopher, Alan Wood, has been quoted as saying, "Subjects should be arranged in a kind of hierarchy of how likely it is that the experts in those fields will be reliable." For instance, he says, from high to low, he rates them as follows. Mathematics. Mathematicians are very likely to be right. Physics comes next in the order of reliability, then biology, economics, politics, and psychology. Interestingly, he rates one of the most popular university courses, psychology, as being the least reliable. While Bertrand Russell, the most famous Western philosopher of the 20th century, said, after he retired, "Philosophy is nonsense. I'm now regretting my misspent youth. 9/10 of what is regarded as viable philosophy is humbug." In his book, Brilliant Blunders from Darwin to Einstein, Mario Livio writes of colossal mistakes made by great scientists that changed our understanding of life and universe. And Anna Kuchman, evaluating that book for Scientific American, writes, "Astrophysicist Livio unmasks the flaws in the works of some of our finest scientific minds in this meditation on the winding, unpredictable path of discovery." End quote. Now, I'm not pretending to know more than these eminent scientists know about how things came to be, how old the Earth and the Sun are. I'm not suggesting genuine experts don't have great value. We all enjoy in our everyday life the benefits of scientific discovery. I probably would have long since passed off the scene were it not for advancements in medical science. What I am claiming is But the Bible does not contain blunders, brilliant or otherwise. The Bible doesn't tell us how God Almighty created this vast and mighty universe and everything in it. It tells us that he did. The Bible doesn't tell us that he raised Jesus from the dead or how he did it. It tells us that he did. The Bible doesn't tell us when God will answer our prayers for his kingdom to come to the earth so that his will be done on earth, even as it is now being done in heaven. But the Bible tells us that Christ will be sent back to the earth to set up God's kingdom on the earth. The Bible doesn't tell us how God took a rib from the sleeping Adam and created Eve. It tells us that he did. And as part of that creative process, we were given the power of choice. Choice to believe the Bible or to label it as fake news. So, depending on our choice that we made, we obey God's commands or we do our own thing. Now, most of the choices we make are neither obedient nor disobedient in God's sight. In most cases, it doesn't matter whether we accept things that are told us or not. It doesn't affect our position in God's judgment whether we believe fake news or not. We're not infallible in our personal judgment. They're not life or death situations. But when or if we label the Almighty's word as contained in his Bible as fake news, and thereby reject his offer of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, that is a life or death choice. The godly inspired writer, the Apostle Paul, wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, telling him, "All scripture inspired by God is profitable to teach, to reprove, to chastise, and to learn, and to correct error." So, do Bible believers accept that just because the Apostle Paul wrote it? Yes, we do. Because we have many other reasons to believe the Almighty inspired not only Paul, but all writers of the Bible books from Genesis to Revelation. Now, if we choose to check that source of all knowledge, Google, we find that 88.3 million entries as to why we should believe the Bible. You'll find countless repetitions within that number. You'll also find about 119 million entries as to why we should not believe the Bible. And among the millions of pros and cons, you would find fake news on both sides. So again, we have a choice to make. Here are some of the many reasons why I believe the Bible to be God's word. And when I try, albeit not always successfully, to live my life as if I believe them. First, the Bible doesn't claim to be a scientific explanation of anything. And yet, there are statements that are truly surprising considering the state of scientific knowledge at the time they were written. One example is found in Job 26, verse 7, the oldest book in the Bible, where we're told that God hangs the earth upon nothing. How did Job understand that the earth is suspended in space when he lived an estimated 3,500 years ago? There were no astronomers or telescopes or any other source of knowledge than what the writer knew by inspiration of the Creator. Isaiah, in chapter 40, verse 22, wrote, "It is God who sits upon the circle of the earth." And a more accurate translation of the word circle is globe. That was written about 700 years BC. How did he know the shape of the earth if not by divine inspiration? most people at that time believed the earth was flat. And next, there is the amazing consistency of the Bible. Consider these facts. The Holy Bible is considered to be one book, but in actual fact, it's 66 books. 40 or more inspired writers contributed to it over a period of about 1,600 years. They were in 13 different countries on 3 different continents. It was written in 3 different languages by people of different professions or occupations, and yet there is no significant contradiction theologically, morally, ethically, doctrinally, scientifically, historically, or in any other significant word. Then, of course, there is the wonder of Bible prophecy to consider. There have been many other than God's prophets down through the ages. Perhaps the most famous was Nostradamus, who had some hits and many more misses. Today we have the 12-year to extinction prophets, but the Bible prophecies have been shown to be 100% accurate when historical events are compared to them. And you've heard many of them from the Christadelphian platform. Students tell us that there are over 300 detailed prophecies in the Old Testament regarding Christ as Messiah, and many of them were fulfilled in New Testament times and in our times. I'm not pretending to be able to point out that 300 prophecies to you, but better Bible students than I can. The point is to say those fulfilled prophecies happen by chance is like saying that an aircraft exploding in midair will land in one piece. It's an impossibility. The Bible can change your life as it has changed the lives of millions of our fellow humans down through the ages and is still changing lives today. In many areas of the world, in over 85 of the something like 200 countries in the world, becoming Christian puts one's life under threat. It's considered to be blasphemous, and blasphemers are executed without trial. Pakistan and Iran are famous for the atrocities against Christians, and yet ordinary Pakistanis and Iranians are willing to convert to Christianity, risking horrible death for the sake of gaining life eternal. Theirs is a brand of faith and we in our society can never understand. Belief in the Bible combined with baptism into Christ has made morally good people eligible for eternal life. The Bible has converted scoundrels into becoming servants of God and disciples of Christ. The Apostle Paul's conversion was just as amazing in that he had actively persecuted Christians for some long time, but Christ recognized Paul could be a useful servant. And so Paul was converted to Christianity by a miraculous vision of Christ as he saw on the road to Damascus. Most conversions are not found in such extreme situations. They come into the ordinary lives of people like you and I who discover a need for hope and stability in a world that has nothing to offer more than temporary, fleeting, and ending in death and destruction. Overlooked by all but a very few Bible students and religious denominations is perhaps the most compelling reason of all to believe the Bible to be fake news free. It is something that Christadelphians have been preaching about ever since we came into being. It is the miracle, not only of the survival of Israelites or Jews, as we call them today, But the restoration of Israel to the place it once was, after having been scattered and persecuted all over the earth for some 2,000 years, it stands as remarkable evidence that the promise made by the Almighty will be kept, even if delayed. In the case of Israel, is the case of a promise made to Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel, some 3,500 years ago. During the period of history, many have tried to exterminate the children of Israel as a pest controller would try to exterminate rats. If Israel were ever to be exterminated, we would be justified in throwing the Bible into the recycling bin. That will never happen. Try to find a Philistine, Perizzite, Sodomite, Ammonite, or Amalekite today. You cannot. But Israel is in the news daily. Israel has been and still is disobedient and has forsaken the one true and living God. Most still deny Jesus as their Savior. The believing Jews, about 30% of Jews by nationality, are still looking for a Savior, not recognizing that their Savior came 2,000 years ago and they crucified him. They believed fake news that said Jesus was a blasphemer. They called for his death, yelling, "His blood be upon us and our children." And that cost them 2,000 years of persecution and scattering from their promised land. But they and the Gentiles who choose, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, to publicly proclaim their belief by being baptized into the faith, are eligible to have their sins forgiven and be welcomed into the eternal life on a perfected earth and in a perfected society. The prophet Ezekiel, in what we call chapter 39, spells out between verses 21 and 29 the scene we hope to see soon. And we quote, "Because they were unfaithful to me, said the Lord, I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hand of their enemies, and they all fell by the sword. But I will leave none of them captive any longer, and I will not hide my face from them any more, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God." And since, through baptism into Christ, we can become part of spiritual Israel, we pray the Almighty Spirit will be poured out on us and all those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and are baptized as a public declaration of their faith. Thank you.